שבת שלום. Once again, thank you everyone for joining us in our service, and thank you to all our visitors, as well as our brethren that are in their home watching our live stream. Thank you. And as Rabbi Cal, the yeshiva will start at 1 o'clock. Our foundation class start at 1 o'clock. Don't worry, I'll be done at 1:30. Amen. So this morning, we have come to the last section of the book of Exodus, that's run from chapter 38 until the last chapter. This passage gives us a look into the hearts of the people of God in their sacrificial giving because of their realization of who God is and what He has done. This is not just a synonym for the law, but it is about the testimony of God and what He has done. And it was the testimony that was symbolically in the Ark of the Covenant so that the people could look at and remember what is inside. We know that the Spirit of God, the Ark of Covenant, will remind us of the words in the work of God. So we can read it here also that God assigned the right people in service, the right people to serve in tabernacle. It's also mentioned in Exodus chapter 31, 2 and 3, Eholiab comes from the tribe of Dan, and Bezalel from the tribes of Judah, are both filled with God's Spirit, and God empowered them with talent, intelligent, and giving them the ability to work in every kind of crafting, woodwork, embroidery, and many more. And then when we go to chapter 40 in Exodus, it describes God's command Moses to erect the meskan and put its vessel in place. And God's presence fills the meskan. So in short, Moses arranged the tabernacle properly and orderly. This morning, my message is about putting the house of God in order. Shall we pray? Father God in heaven, we thank you for today. Thank you for this wonderful day that you've given unto us. Father, give us a heart to listen, a ear, heart to serve you and a ear to listen to your words. Open our heart, Lord. We are willing to serve you. We are willing to love you and obey you. Lord, as we hear your words this morning, give us wisdom and knowledge, Lord, and give us joy in order, Lord, that we could go on in serving you. Thank you, Heavenly Father, in Yeshua's name. Amen. What do you mean by putting the house of God in order? Putting the house of God in order means to improve or to correct. That's a man's perspective. But in God's perspective, putting the house of God in order means be true to yourself. Be who you are. And realize what you have done wrong in trying to check. Working with the help of our Almighty God. In Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 to 15, Paul wrote this first letter to Timothy, a young evangelist working with the community of Ephesus. And by the way, who is Timothy? We first encounter Timothy in Acts chapter 16, verse 1. When Paul was on his second missionary journey, Timothy was a native of Lystra located in what was then Asia Minor. They call it modern Turkey. His mother, Eunice, was a Jewish Christian who, along with her mother and Louis' grandmother, is Lois. So Timothy to know that he was led him by Paul to the Lord. And he joined the apostles' missionary journey in 51 AD. So Timothy called to ministry was indicated by God in 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 18. And he was commanded to service by Paul in the elders according to 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 14. Along with Luke, and he was on Paul's closest traveling companion and served in many capacities. So Paul writing to Timothy to help him deal with the various issues that have come up in the church of Ephesus. And he will give him a guidance, instruction. So the purpose of his writing is to challenge Timothy as a young leader. As a family in Yeshua, Paul does not only encourage young Timothy, but challenge Timothy as a young minister. As we know that congregation is like a body with many parts. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 to 17, as Rabbi mentioned last week, if the congregation is a body, Paul wants us to be a healthy body, a sound body, a well-ordered body which digests food properly, pumps blood, moves oxygen properly or freely, and all the function in the way we were designed to function. A healthy body has integrity. Integrity means the quality of being honest and strong moral uprightness and wholeness. As a result, it has a healthy immune system and which is able to fight off and resist infection. And more than that, a healthy body is able to accomplish the work that God has given it. So Paul exhortation here is basically an anticipation of the very situation that Timothy facing now in the church of Ephesus. Timothy is ministering among the same elders, leaders, and members that Paul exhorted in Acts chapter 20. And Paul exhorting Timothy to fight the wolves in the church of Ephesus and equip the congregation at Ephesus to resist the false teachers. In other words, Paul exhorting Timothy to put God's house in order for the sake of God's ministry. We know that Timothy is a young pastor. And they said that he's timid. But Here is the challenge of Paul that he need to face. The congregation in Ephesus urgently needed corrective discipline. Senseless, destructive doctrines were being taught, and that disrupted the entire inner life of the congregation. Believers were acting unlovingly toward one another. Quite likely, Paul deals with congregational organization and especially leadership, providing qualification for elders and deacons because they are unqualified. Men had become leaders. Some women are crudely flaunting their wealth and newfound knowledge. There might be gossiper among leaders and members, as well as racist, slanderer inside the congregation that cause division. Exclusively ideas in fighting among men had adversely affected the congregational prayers. Sin was ignored, but worst of all, the gospel in its reputation and the unbelief was seriously threatened. As a result of this problem, Paul sent a letter to Timothy to challenge him as a young minister. And Paul knew that Timothy faced a difficult assignment. He was keenly aware the tough problems that Timothy would encounter, like tufty, deeply rooted weeds. False teaching is hard to pull at once, in a sticking root and a gossiper hard to stop. So the opposition of Ephesus was fiercely argumentative. So Paul wrote the letter of 1 Timothy to formally reinforce his verbal instruction to Timothy. If you are a Timothy right now, or if you are in the shoes of Timothy, are you going to take the challenge? Are you going to take the challenge? Paul's way of addressing it is by exhorting Timothy. He's repairing about his own holiness and conduct his relationship in his stand before God. Yes, it's hard when we look at it, but Paul encouraged Timothy that once the life of Timothy is really good before God, there's no problem. We live in a world where the congregation has taken back seat to individual. People think they can be a believer apart from the congregation. This is a symptom of the self-centeredness that permeates our culture. Believer is not about the individual. The congregation corporately is the bride of Yeshua. We are called to serve one another, as Rabbi mentioned last week, love one another and care for one another. Because we, as we do so, we love Yeshua because He died for you and for me. He is the bride, the congregation of God's people. So Paul said in 4:12, Timothy, let no one look you down on your youthfulness, but become an example of the faithful in speech, in conduct, in love, in faithfulness, in purity. So this is the greater emphasis Paul made to Timothy that centered around how he lived out his faith. Timothy's conduct was paramount to ensure others did not look down upon him. And condescending the leveraging age against him. The same true for us. We are called not only hearing the word of God, but actively apply and implement it in our daily action, not to deceive ourselves. In James 1:22 says, therefore, age is not primary focus of attention in Paul's instruction, but rather the quality of Timothy's leadership by example. Not surprisingly, the initial focus of Paul's attention was speech, for as the book of James warned that the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness with it. We bless our Lord and the Father, and with we curse people who are made into the likeness of God. So, when Paul said that putting the house of God order, he's not talking about the building. He's talking about the individual. He's talking to you and me. Right? He's talking about our character, our behavior, our attitude. We need to remember, it is not what goes in the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth that defiles a person. In addition, we must choose our words carefully to encourage and build one another rather than tear one another. Therefore, encourage one another, build one another, as just as we are doing. The purity Paul instructed to Timothy is exemplified. It had to come from selfless heart with long for righteousness. That's why let us not fall into the same trap of the prophet of Isaiah. He said, these people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Again, these people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. For all the believers, watch your life and doctrine closely. Flee immorality. Guard the deposited entrusted to you. Timothy cannot put God's house in order if he himself is not in order. Right? We cannot fix something if ourselves himself is messy. I agree with Paul for the advice or exhort to Timothy. How can we put God's house in order if ourselves is not in order? If ourselves is messy, full of hypocrite, pride, selfish, self-righteousness, unforgiving spirit, anger, jealousness, gossiper, and bitterness. What does your behavior say about who you are? What do your actions say about who you are? Our actions are always saying something about you and me. Amen? Don't mad at me. Brothers and sisters, that's true. What does your behavior say about who you are? And what do your actions say about who you are? Our actions are always saying something about us. That's why there's a saying, action speaker louder than words. In Luke 6:45, it says here, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. And the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. And Yeshua says that people can be judged by what they say, and though because these things reveal what is really inside to that person. I'm talking putting God's house in order. In 1 Corinthians, we are the temple of God, right? God wants us to be in order. God wants us to refine, to purify our character. That's why if you want to know what is inside of a person, you simply watch his action. Listen to what comes out his mouth in a regular basis. This is not being judgmental. This is being realistic. So if a person is angry, rude, slanderer, in a regular basis, you can be assured that this is what he or she like. Then you can be sure that is what he's like on the inside. Of course, it is possible that someone might facade to deserve others regarding their character. Eventually, what is on inside will come out. Whatever inside in our hearts, it will come out. Sorry to mention this. Observe during our Shabbat service. Sorry to all our visitors. While our rabbi is preaching, lots of group preaching outside in the lobby. That's unrespectful. Not only that. Brothers and sisters, Rabbi mentioned in his preaching last week that Shabbat is a weekly convocation when we as spiritual family gather together for worship. Listen the instruction from the Word of God for service, to equip and to build up the ministry from the body of Messiah. We are here to listen to the instruction that God wants us through our rabbi. How can you listen if you are busy preaching also in the other side? How can you listen if you are busy chatting with somebody else? Freedom. That's true. We can do whatever we want. We are in a free country, right? But my question is, are you really coming here to worship Yeshua? Are you really coming here to worship Yeshua? And Luke 6:42 says, remember, the preachers, the first thing that they preach is themselves, not only you, myself. Okay? And Luke 6:42 says, how can you say, brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, while you yourself fail to see the beam in your own eye, you hypocrite. First, take the beam out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Ouch. You should never teach scriptures to others or try to correct someone else until you have corrected yourself first. Don't overlook your own failures by facing on the other failures. In order to put God's house in order, let's do it first to ourselves. Am I a blessing to you, or am I a stumbling block? Timothy loved God with all his heart, mind, and soul. He was a person of strong concern in the ministry and a man with outstanding commitment. He was faithful. That's why Timothy took the challenge, because he had a genuine faith. When Paul asked him to put the house of God in order to the Ephesians congregation, he knew it was challenging, but he looked upon God. He knew God will help him. And Paul reminds Timothy that since he was chosen in this way, he should have the confidence to enter into battle against the false teachers, because he knows that if God chose him for ministry, God would also be with him in the ministry. So don't be scared. God is with us as long our life is pleasing unto him. That's why 1 Timothy 6:12 said, "Fight a good fight, Timothy. Fight a good fight." Paul now explained the strategy needed in order to put the house of God in order, that Timothy needs to fight a good fight of faith. Keep the faith, maintain or preserve the faith, keep preaching and arguing God-centered doctrines, and keep believing this is, and encourage others to do as well. Are you still with me? Are you still with me? Don't leave me. Stay with me. This is what the Lord Almighty, don't you know that there is a danger of neglecting our responsibilities, putting the house of God in order? Let us in Haggai chapter 1, verse 2 to 6. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, "The time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house." Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. "It's a time for yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains ruined." He's talking about the house of God. "Now this is what the Lord Almighty says, give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You with holes put your clothes on, but are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes on it. If we neglect the house of God, yes, we may have everything we want, but we lose the joy that comes from God." That's why I said, what shall a profit a man? Again, the whole world. Are we able to take the challenge like Timothy? Second, after Timothy take the challenge, he consecrate himself to God. Consecration is not easy, that road in life, and it can be a cruel and difficult path, but it's also a misunderstood principle which causes many to shy away from it. Paul was a set apart for the gospel of God. He was consecrated unto God, and like many before him. And Paul was a sign that pointed us to Yeshua. not only Paul, even Hezekiah. And 2 Chronicles 25 says, "Listen to me, Levites. Consecrate yourselves now and so consecrate the temple of the Lord, the God of your ancestor. Remove all the defilement from the sanctuary." And Hezekiah was consecrated to God. And the Bible describes that he is the king who had close relationship with God, what was good and right and faithful before God. Here's also Joshua. Joshua 3:5, "They are right on the edge of the land. They are ready to grasp the promise that they have been carrying around in their hearts for 100 years. And then Joshua goes around to all the people, not just the leaders, all the people, and says to them, consecrate yourselves. It's a word to everybody. What I find interesting here is that he's going around and talking to people, and he's not saying, check your shields and sharpen your swords because you are going into battle. But he said that would be a logical thing, saying, instead, there is the issue of consecration. God said to his people, consecrate yourself for tomorrow. The Lord will do amazing things among you. Friends, when we consecrate ourselves to God, he will do things in you, with you, for you, and through you that will amaze you. We want to do amazing things for God, but God wants us to concentrate ourselves. Consecration means dethroning yourself and enthroning Yeshua as Lord of your life, as Romans 12:1 says, "I beseech you, therefore, my brethren," so forth and so on. That's why, brothers and sisters, in order to put God's house in order, fix first yourself. Search your heart before God. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 to 23, "A large house contains not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some indeed are for honorable use, but others are for common use. So if anyone cleanses himself of what is unfit, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, and prepared for every good works. Flee from youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, together with those who call on the Lord of a pure heart." Describes these two kinds of people. Now in a great house, they are not only a vessels of gold and silver, but also a wood and clay. Some for honorable use and some for dishonorable. Which one are you? The honorable or dishonorable? Again, Timothy take the challenge and he consecrate himself to God. Lastly, of course, there is also a temple rejoicing because you did everything. So there was a time of completion. After Moses examined the work on the tabernacle, he blesses the people according to Genesis. And the Lord saw his creation that it was good and blessed both the animals and man. We want to look back and say we have completed what we began. And isn't it that if you did something and you did it very well, you felt happy? Because you're satisfied. Why? Because you did well. The high priest was a man appointed by God to oversee the tabernacle in the wilderness. a position of sacred responsibility. And God chose Aaron, brother of Moses, to be his first high priest, and Aaron's sons to be a priest to assist him. And Aaron was from the tribe of Levi, one of the 12 sons of Jacob. And according to Numbers 18, verse 25 to 29, all the tithes, give in any forms of offering, will give it to the Lord or to the Levites, because they take charge on it. And Moses did every well inside and outside the tabernacle. He chose or appointed people who are really have the skills, give love and commitment, also having people who are really have the heart to give. We know that our God is the God of order. Right? Our God is a God of order. That's why He wants us to put ourselves in order. So our God is a God of order. We come together to worship Him in spirit and truth. Right? As a family and community. That is why we are here every Shabbat. To gather as community and as a congregation to worship Adonai. Now, we gathered in this beautiful building, right? We don't gather in the park. We don't gather somewhere else. We gather here in the nice building. But gathering in this building is costly, right? We cannot sit down here without nothing. It's costly. We have mortgage to pay, utilities to pay, and other expenses. But I thank God that we are here because of everyone's generosity and faithfulness. In giving their tithes and special offerings. We know that everything we own belongs to God. We are just a good steward of His goodness. But Moses mentioned about tithes and offering here. And one of the big debates and issues of some congregation today. And one question people may ask themselves, do I need to still give tithes? Do I still need to give an offering? I just want to say something, my brethren. Yes, I know that no more Levites and priests and no strong scripture talk about tithes in the new covenant. But in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you mote with all, it shall be measured to you. Who love Adonai? Do you really love Adonai? Oh, nobody loves Adonai. Because they don't like tithes and offering. Who truly love Adonai? Brothers and sisters, yes, God will provide everything we need. But He will use you and me who provide the things that they need or that we need in our congregation. You remember the Israelites when in Exodus 35 verse 4 and 5. I'm almost done. Don't worry. In Exodus chapter 35 verse 4 and 5, it says here, Moses also said to all the congregation of Bnei Israel, "This is the word which Adonai commanded, saying, take from among you an offering." Take from among you an offering for Adonai. Whoever has a willing heart, let him bring Adonai's offering, so forth and so on. So my brothers and sisters, God is our provider, but you and me, used by God so that we can sustain our needs in our congregation. Do you want us to worship outside this building, especially during winter? We don't, right? So let us open our hands for God's glory. If we want to remain in this beautiful building, let us give. I'm not talking tithes. Let us give for the glory of God. How much we can give? Start giving more than you can afford. Generosity is not about how much you have in your pocket. It's about what is in your heart. I repeat it. Generosity is not about how much you have in your pocket. It's about what's in your heart. So the people then had to realize that this money never belonged to them and was always given to God and was meant to be used for God's service. That's why all the offerings that we give, be sure that we can really use it for the glory of God. That's why when people look at you, does your composition reflect the worth and majesty and glory of God? Does everything you have belong to God the Father, Son, and Ruach HaKodesh? Just ask yourself, brothers and sisters, are we glorifying God or are you glorifying yourself? Do people recognize that God is living inside of you and that you are full of His presence and His glory because He's changed everything you are in everything you do? That's why Paul challenged Timothy to put God's house in order. But in order to put God's house in order, in as Paul mentioned here, Timothy need to take the challenge. Timothy needs to consecrate himself. Timothy needs also to rejoice for God's glory. In Philippians 1:6 says, I'm sure of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Messiah Yeshua. If we allow God to direct and steer our hearts and willing to participate in putting the house of God in order, bringing our heart to Him. If you want to participate putting the house of God in order, let us bring our heart to God. Let us bring our best gift, our best offering. Then surely our challenge will be sufficient. With your prayer participation, or with your prayerful participation, we can achieve one of the most remarkable victories in the history of Big Chiquina. And it's my prayer that our effort will be an accurate testimony of our love for the Lord and our commitment for the continuation of His work. as we join our hand and work together, building the house of God in order. In Exodus, my last verse, verse 43. And Moses did look upon all the work, and behold, they had done it as the Lord commanded. Even so had they done it, and Moses blessed them. And is your life is in order? Or is the house of God in order? Shabbat Shalom.